Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast as we talk Midwestern State football with head coach Rich Renner. Midwestern State getting ready for the final game of the regular season as they take on Western New Mexico in Silver City. They wrapped up the home portion of their schedule this past week on Military Appreciation Day and Senior Day. Midwestern State was in a high-scoring affair and fell to West Texas A&M 56-42. Is that the kind of game you expected against West Texas, that kind of aerial assault and that many points?
Well, obviously you don't. As a defensive coach, you don't want to see that high-scoring offense. But we knew that, or I knew, and the staff knew that, obviously, they had been averaging a lot of points. We talked about that on the podcast a week ago. And we knew that there was going to be a challenge slowing them down because they do score so many points. And they've got a really good quarterback and receivers, very talented receivers. And so, again, not anticipating 56 points, but we knew that it was going to be, at least a four score game most likely, and we were hoping to keep it below a four score game, back down to 17 or 21 points, but obviously didn't happen. And so we started out strong and things kind of unraveled a little bit on us.
Well, it was interesting because they had been getting off to fast starts. That was kind of their MO coming in, but you slowed them down. In fact, Midwestern State took a 7-0 lead when you scored a defensive touchdown capitalized on an error by West Texas. They snapped the ball over the head of the quarterback. You guys got on it, and Midwestern State got off to a good start.
Most definitely. The kids, again, were locked in and were excited about and fired up to play the game. And we started out strong. We were able to capitalize, which, again, we kind of did against Kingsville, when we played them at home and beat them. And so I felt good about how the start was, and we got a couple turnovers early. And with that, thinking, okay, here we go. We're going to really do well. And then there was a lull there right before halftime where offense was three and out, and defensively we couldn't get lined up and just kind of just couldn't make the play on the ball. They were going super fast, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 they hit three touchdowns on us and kind of pull away a little bit there before halftime. And one of those, we missed a 50-yard field goal. It gave them a short field for that last touchdown of the three that we're talking about here. And they go down and score. And in roughly a minute, roughly a little over a minute. And that really hurt us going into halftime.
There was over 400 yards passing for both teams. And I think it was well over 1,000 yards of total offense combined for both teams. As a former defensive coordinator, that's got to turn your hair gray.
It does. It does. Even though it's already gray, it's starting to fall out now. But
welcome to being head coach.
Exactly. Hats off to them and what they did. And again, there's a lot of factors that go into this in a sense of, letting up that many points defensively and why did we and this and that. And, when obviously we didn't get the job done coaching wise, we didn't get the job done player wise. And obviously we've got to be better at that. And we had a lot of new guys playing, but that's not an excuse. They've got to know their job and their role and their assignment. And as coaches, we've got to make sure they know that. And so there were some, I wouldn't say some bust, per se, but we didn't make the plays when, the ball was in the air and we're right there to make it, whether it's in the corner of the end zone or whether it's on the sideline, or when the vertical receiver's going right past us and we're looking the other side because we think that, we're in a different coverage than what we are. And so so we gave up some cheap plays that I would say that really were the difference in the game. I would say that, they probably would have scored, at least probably four touchdowns, I would say, just because of us not playing the ball like we should. But there were three touchdowns at least that we gave up because we didn't do our assignment or we didn't do our job or we didn't get lined up correctly. And so that's always the frustrating part about a defensive coordinator is, a defensive coach is that, if you get lined up and you do your assignment, you give yourself a chance to make a play and obviously get off the field. And there was a couple times where not only did we not get off the field because of our lack of doing our job or the lack of getting lined up correctly, but there was also a couple plays where we had a penalty off of a sack at start the second half. That we get a sack and we're off the field, and then we get a targeting call, which gives them 15 yards, automatic first down, and they go down and score. And we're within 7 points at that point. We're kind of getting the momentum and rolling, and we needed that big stop because our offense had got the ball and went down and scored, and so we had the momentum going our side, and then that kind of took the wind out of our sail and really hurt us a little bit, and then we're playing catch-up from then on.
You got to be pleased with what you saw to Sean Jastrup, who went 30 of 56 for 411 yards, 5 touchdowns and 1 interception. You'll take that ratio every day of the week.
Yes, sir. I mean, Sean, we're glad to have him back just because of his injury and what have you. You know, we'd love to have had him back the week before, but obviously he was still hurt, came in. And then again, for those that weren't at the game, it was windy. So he had to fight the wind and out of the two quarters, and then the wind switched as the game went on, as it always does in Wichita Falls. So we went from a southern wind to a northern wind as the cold front was coming through.
Right.
And so that obviously was a difference as well. And so he did a great job managing the offense, but also too finding the open receivers. And if the story truly was told, there was a lot more open receivers that we left out there, just because of pressure or what have you, that he didn't see that we could have probably scored a couple more touchdowns. But nevertheless, very proud of, the offense and what they did scoring wise. Obviously, we need to run the ball a little bit more. I think we only had 75 yards rushing. You'd like to be a little bit more balanced running the football and passing the football. But our receivers did a really good job of stepping up, especially since we've had a lot of receivers out and new receivers in the game. And then obviously Sean managing that, with what he's got. And so in the offensive line did a good job, only gave up 2 sacks, 2 too many, but still for all the times we throw the football, it's not bad.
Yeah, you threw it over 50 times, so
yes,
you're
sir.
Dropping back a lot. And Sean now for the season has got 15 touchdown passes and just 3 interceptions. So he's making good decisions with the ball.
He definitely is, and that was something that, early on in the year and last year, that he always would throw an interception a game, and so we were trying to
– Yeah, last year he had 1 touchdown and 4 interceptions.
That's right.
He's turned that completely around.
Most definitely, and so I'm proud of him for that, and he's gotten better and learning the offense, and I think that time that he sat behind Longino and got a chance to really learn and grow and see, and then now he's starting to figure it out. And so so I'm proud of him, and so we, hopefully he has another big game this Saturday.
I was going to say, he's your starting quarterback against Western, right?
Well, for right now he is, until something changes, you never know.
It's kind of the way this season's gone,
that's
right?
That's exactly right.
Sean's a junior. You expect to have him back? Do you think he'd be the guy next season for you?
Well, you'd hope to. You hope, obviously he's a great, young man, and he's been here now going on his second season, got the medical last year. When he broke his leg, and so it kind of ended quicker than he wanted to, and then we got the back injury, and we felt like that we thought maybe he might be done, and then once we got it all looked at and checked out, and it all checked out that nothing was wrong, then we were able to get him rehabbed, and Gary Deem and his staff does a great job getting our kids back as quick as they can, and so we had him for this past week, which we needed, and as you can see, he's very talented and studies the game, and obviously is a coach's son, and so as many of those guys you have on your staff, on your team, you really like, because they get it, they understand it.
With really only a couple of exceptions, your offense has probably played well enough for you to have 7, 8, 9 wins this year.
Most definitely. I think, our offense scored enough, obviously, against West Texas. That's what I told the team. They scored enough against West Texas for us to win. They scored enough against Eastern New Mexico for us to win. Defensively has kind of really kept us back. If you look at the big picture, and that's the frustrating part, because I'm a defensive coach, and obviously that is hurting our team, and it's very, very frustrating. And so whether it's coaching or me or whatever the case may be, or players, it doesn't matter. It's the wins and losses that matter, and so when we win as a team, we lose as a team, and you just don't want to be that side that's costing the team regardless. And so, obviously, we've got to definitely improve that.
So it's kind of flipped this year, because last year was the other way around. The defense played well enough for you to win 8 or 9 games, and the offense struggled. Mm-hmm. This year, it's as we say, it's the other way around. How do you get it so that you have both playing well?
Well, I think that I'm hoping, that and praying that obviously.
I'm thinking season three is going to be it, Coach.
Season three, that's what I'm hoping. You know, third time's a charm. But, we had to make some adjustments, at different positions, in the offseason on offense and get better and upgrade. And I think we've got to do that on defense as well. And we're very young this year. I mean, we had some transfers. We had some portal kids that came in and just didn't pan out like we thought they were and got hurt. And so then we're stuck with freshmen. Not that it's a bad thing, but we've got a lot of freshmen out there playing, and so you're going to take your freshman lumps.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. In fact, it can be – in the long run, it may work out well for you that these guys got all this experience. But, of course, in the modern age, you got to make sure those guys come back.
Most definitely. With the portal age and the transfer rules and how it's open and it's more friendly to the student-athlete than it is to the coaches in the university, that you're right. You have to re-recruit them every day. You got to make sure that this is where they want to be and they're happy, and then you hope that people don't call them. Coaches call them and get their phone numbers, because that's all happening all the time as well, even though it's not supposed to.
I know I've probably said this on three or four podcasts now, but I'm going to say it again anyway. I'm always surprised when I'm calling the games and I look down on the roster. I'm calling the guy who made a tackle or made an interception. It's a freshman. I mean, you've got freshmen making plays left and right. Now, there's also plays they're not making, and that's led to the problems that you've discussed here. But it, in some ways, it does bode well for the future.
Most definitely, and I hope that is true. You know, again, like you said, you the problem with freshmen, okay, is, you know, not the problem, but the good thing about freshmen is they're going to be sophomores next year.
That's it. I think a coach once told me the best thing about a freshman is they become sophomores.
That's exactly right. But also, too, you know, you don't want that to go to their head that, you know, they started or they played a lot as a true freshman, and then all of a sudden now they think they've arrived, they think they're entitled, or they think that, you know, they don't have to work as hard because they played. And so, you know, keeping them motivated, continue to push them, continue to have the competition to force them to get better and not just stay mediocre, or feel like that because they played last year as a freshman that they're going to play as a sophomore the next year. And so that's always a challenge.
So are you in the portal to fill some of these holes that you see, or do you want to – I guess my question really is, how do you foresee – building the program?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways to build the program, but I think number one, you've always got to build it with a strong foundation with high school kids, you know, if possible. And I think what people don't understand is that when you want to win now, you've got to go to the portal, you've got to go, and have a more mature team to win. And so you have to mix the maturity and with the youth that I have as freshmen to obviously enhance the chances of us winning and winning a conference championship and going to the playoffs and playing for a national championship. And so you've got to still mix some of those guys in there, but you still always have got to replace guys with high school kids as well to continue that foundation of building and growing, even though in this day and age it's hard to keep kids and really build them and develop them like you could 10 years ago or before the portal age.
I remember talking to Justin Leslie when he was the basketball coach here, and he said, what you want to do is get old and stay old. Is that true in football as well?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I think when you're older, okay, you're seasoned, you've got a lot of mileage underneath your belt, so therefore you've got game experience, you've got competitive nature, you get it. You know what I mean? Now, there comes a whole other problem when you're older. Then you have to watch out for injuries and you have to protect the athlete because, you know, they do have so much mileage on their tires. And so therefore you don't want the tire to blow and ruin everything. And so, you know, there's a different management of your team than you do when they are freshmen and young and you're trying to mold them to what you want your program to be and the standards for them to understand and get.
As a guy that's followed the Lone Star Conference since I was in school in the 1980s, I'm just baffled when I look at the standings in the LSC to see the way Central Washington and Western Oregon have come in. What are those two schools doing out in the Great Northwest that has allowed them to rise to the top of this conference that is, for the most part, a Texas-based conference where football is king?
Well, I think that there's probably a lot of things. Number one, they're great coaches, okay? You've got Western Oregon, that staff has been there. Almost all of those guys have been there 20-plus years. You've got Coach Fisk up at Central Washington that, to me, he's got the blueprint of what to do and how to do it as far as traveling. Both of those guys travel every other weekend. They get on a plane with their team. They travel a great distance. They lose days of preparation and then fly back. And they've got it down to a science. And now, again, do they have issues? Do they, you know, lose kids, you know, to injuries like we have this year as well? Yes. But they're able to manage through the storms or the slight showers that they get, when I say, you know, of the ups and downs of the season, and they keep it rolling. And again, they've got, you know, there is some great talent up in the Northwest that they can pull from. And again, we could say a lot of things of what they're doing or not doing and what we're doing or not doing that you can look at in Texas here. Think of the competition in the recruiting itself. Pete, you know, you've got all the schools. You've got West Texas. You've got Kingsville. You've got Eastern New Mexico that sometimes dips into Texas to recruit kids. But you've got us.
Angelo State.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, listen, that's just D2 schools. Now let's talk about D1AA schools. And then let's talk about Division I schools. And then let's talk about all the schools outside the state of Texas that come to Texas.
Even Division II schools, by the way, that are coming down to Texas to dip into the talent pool.
Most definitely. And so, therefore, not that's an excuse, but I think that people don't realize that. I don't know of many people going to the Northwest to recruit kids, you know, other than Washington or Washington State, and they're probably going national, if let's be honest, or they're going to California and getting them out of L.A. and San Francisco.
A lot of California kids. And a lot of D1 transfers as well from schools like Boise State, Idaho, Washington State.
Most definitely. And so with that in mind, I mean, again, there's not a lot of people up there to choose from like you do have in Texas and they're not as developed. So therefore, they've got to, you know, redshirt them, keep them around 2 or 3 years, and then develop them, and then they become really good players for them as they fill out. Talking with the head coach at Western Oregon, you know, he told me that, you know, the kids up there in Oregon do not lift weights. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, coach. He goes, they won't let them lift weights in high school. And I said, and again, I'm listening to him, but then I remembered we had a guest speaker talk to our team when we went to Western Oregon one time. And he talked about when he ran track, that he never lifted until he got to college, and it was new to him because it was something they never did before, and he, you know, obviously had to learn how to lift and do all that stuff. And so I just think that, you know, in Texas, obviously we're ahead of the ball game a little bit because kids start lifting when they're in high school. They start lifting when they're freshmen. They start getting developed. They start doing spring ball. They do, you know, all other sports. But nevertheless, they're football. And I think that, you know, so therefore you're getting a more ready-made guy that we could play with as a freshman to a certain degree. They still don't know the game. That's what I'm finding out, as well as you think they do. But they're at least athletically more developed than maybe in strength wise than a kid up in the Northwest. And so, my point in saying that is, I think they do a good job of developing those kids. I think they find those kids that, you know, nobody else would take a chance on. They fill out. They get in the weight room. They develop, and now they've got them selfish.
And they're keeping them.
And because there's not a lot of places for them to go.
No, I give them all due credit. It's just surprising because when they first came in and became part of the conference, if you had told me, oh, those two teams are going to finish first and second in the conference in a couple of years, I would have laughed at you. I would have thought, no, that's not going to happen. They may be good teams, but they're not just going to go past all these Texas-based schools, but they have. You've got Western New Mexico coming up. It's obviously the final game of the season, and you recognized the seniors last week. Do you make a special effort to play the seniors more, or do you go the other way and start preparing for next year? How do you approach the final game of the season?
Well, this final game of the season, we've got to win. You know what I mean? Like any other game, we're approaching it to win the football game, whatever that takes, whether that takes playing younger guys and moving forward, or if that takes playing the seniors and playing with them. We're going to play the best guys. We're going to continue to – move forward. Like I said, like we would prepare if we're going to the playoffs or this is a conference championship game. And so I don't change, you know, like I said, we're not changing and I'm not going to change the way, just kind of like last week, you know, there was a few seniors that didn't get in the game. You know, I mean, that even though it was their last home game, but we were trying to win the game there at the end, down 14 points, trying to get an onside kick, trying to, you know, you never know in the game that we're playing in, whether it's football, basketball, or whatever the case may be. As we saw in the World Series, you just never know what can happen. And so we always play it till the end. And so we were just making sure that we played the best players. And so same thing here. You know what I mean? I mean, we're not, you know, going to go in here that, oh, well, the season's over and, you know, now this is just a, you know, a game you just have to go through and what have you. No, we're out there to win the football game. And if kids are checked out, you know, as you hear coaches say, if they're checked out and they're not locked in and motivated and don't want to play, then they won't be out there and we'll play the guys that are.
What challenge does Western New Mexico present for you?
Well, there's a lot of challenge Western New Mexico. I mean, I think they do a lot of great things on offense. Obviously throwing the football and running it, they do a really good job of that. Are they going to be the degree that West Texas was? No. But they are a fast tempo team. They've got a talented quarterback that can run, which has given us fits this year. They've got stud receivers that can catch the ball and beat you vertical if you let them. Defensively, they've had their issues. So I think that bodes well for our defense, or not defense, but our offense when they face their defense. And so I think, you know, obviously that's a good thing. But again, you're fighting the trip over there, which is a long haul. You're fighting.
It's a tough trip.
You're fighting the you've driven it. I'm telling you. And you've driven it by yourself, which is even tougher, and driving the whole way. But you're also fighting, you know, an earlier game. It's 12 o'clock their time, 1 o'clock our time, which is not for a coach. You love that. But for a player, like last week, we played at 1 o'clock, which is great. I loved it. I thought, you know, our kids was ready to go, and maybe that's why we started out strong too, because they were ready and fired up. But same thing. I mean, you just have different things that you're dealing with. It's going to be a little bit cooler, 54 degrees, possibly up to 64.
That's called football weather, coach.
That's great football weather. You're exactly right. But it's cooler than what we've been used to. And so, you know, when you're going on the road, and then there's a chance of rain, and when you're throwing the ball a lot, and that's what we rely on is throwing the football, just like it hurt us at Western Oregon because it rained and it was wet and muddy and all that other stuff and slowed us down. And my point in saying all that is, you know, there's a lot of obstacles there that Western New Mexico presents to us. I don't think the elevation is a big deal. It never has been since we've been out there, but it's just, you know, that long trip and the law and those buses, and, you know, it's good bonding time for your team, but it's also a time where, you know, kids can be distracted.
I think they put in an artificial turf there, if I remember right from my last trip there. But I remember the first time we went to Silver City, they let the grass grow, and it was about ankle high. And Midwestern State was a pretty fast team that year, and it looked like they were running in quicksand that day.
Most definitely, almost like we were doing at Western Oregon this year. But you're right.
So they can't, with the artificial turf now, they can't just ignore the grass growing and slow teams down the way they did that first year we went up to Silver City. But there's been some pretty good football games there between Midwestern State and Western New Mexico.
Most definitely. I mean, they always play hard. They always give us a run for the money. Even last year, last game of the year, you know, it was a tight ball game, 21-21 at halftime, and then we were able to pull away from it in the second half. And so same thing here. I mean, it's going to be a battle. Both teams, 2-7, or I'm sorry, 2-8, and looking for that third win. And so hopefully we can get it.
This will be our last podcast, and I know I'm probably putting the cart before the horse here, but what do you see your focus being in the off season?
Well, number one, obviously we've got to get some secondary guys. We've got to get some safeties. We need some help in that back end. That's where we're kind of we've been really hurting, especially against these teams that like to throw the football. We definitely need to get some offensive linemen to protect for the quarterback, to give him more time to be able to throw the ball and also to run the ball. And then, you know, we lose some seniors that were really good, you know, defensive ends and wide receivers. So, you know, offense, we're not as heavy in the maturity side of the old side as we are on the defensive side. And so So it's you know, we've definitely got our work cut out for us in recruiting, and we definitely, like you said, got to retain the kids that we have and continue to filter in with some of those older classmen guys that we can get out of the portal and out of the JC.
That's Rich Renner, the head football coach here at Midwestern State, just about to wrap up his second season. It's gone by in a flash, Coach.
It has. All right, Pete, I appreciate you and Cameron all this year for all that you've done, not only broadcasting our home games, but also to these podcasts. And again, go Mustangs.